So we're turning this morning to the book of Jonah and chapter 1. The book of Jonah and chapter 1, and we're reading from verse 1 through 6. Jonah chapter 1, verse 1 through to verse 6. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it, to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid, and cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise and call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us, that we perish not. We know that God will bless the reading of his word. Some years ago, a best-selling novel by a man called Peter Benchley was made into a film which became one of Hollywood's greatest hits. It became a blockbuster, as they say. Many millions of dollars were taken through this film being shown. And the film that was made from this novel was entitled Jaws. It was a suspense thriller about a gigantic white shark whose habit of devouring innocent swimmers while they swam off the coast of a particular community terrorized that whole community. It had all the brilliance and glamour and suspense and intrigue and expertise of Hollywood about it. And I'm sure that it's a film that is up there with the greats of the film industry. When we open our Bibles at the book of Jonah, we're not just brought face to face with a great fish, but we're brought face to face with a great God. And in this book, it's not the brilliance or the radiance of Hollywood that confronts us, but we're brought face to face with the radiance of the glory of God. My, we see God at work in this book. God at work in the heart of his servant Jonah. God at work in the hearts of heathen men. God at work through the elements of nature. God at work in a nation. Surely today, we long for a day when we see God at work in the hearts of his servants, in the hearts of heathen men, and even in the hearts of nations. This book of Jonah is one of those books in the Bible that's constantly under attack by modernists and skeptics in this skeptical age in which we live. Some of the questions that are asked and the criticisms are made commonly: did Jonah really exist? Is the book of Jonah fact or fiction? Did Jonah really live in a fish's belly for 3 days and 3 nights? And of course, the scholarly seek to answer these questions, some to the negative, others to the positive. And they spend columns upon columns and chapters upon chapters trying to prove how or if Jonah really existed, if he really lived in a fish's belly for 3 days or 3 nights, or if the book of Jonah is all nonsense altogether. Dear friends, to answer these skeptical questions, one has only to turn to the New Testament. And one has only to turn to the greatest preacher that ever lived, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Because I believe that Jesus Christ was the eternal Son of God. I believe that he was God manifest in Christ, God manifested in this world. And here's what he said about these questions that are being asked today by modernists and skeptics. In chapter 12 of Matthew and 39, he says this. He answered the Pharisees, "An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it but the sign of the prophet Jonas. For as Jonas was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonas, and behold, a greater than Jonas is here." So here is the Savior, and he answers all the questions, in 3 verses. Doesn't take him 3 chapters, doesn't take him 3 volumes. He answers it all in 3 verses. He believed that there was a prophet Jonah. He believed that Jonah lived in the fish's belly, and he believed that Jonah preached to the people of Nineveh. So we're speaking about facts this morning. We're speaking about things that happened. And I believe the Bible, and I believe what Jesus said, and so I believe in Jonah, and I believe that Jonah was swallowed by a great fish and then vomited up again, and I believe that he preached to the men of Nineveh. Now let's see what God is saying to us in these verses. And as we look at this portion this morning, the first thing I want you to see is the servant of God, and that's Jonah, the servant of God. We learn from 2 Kings chapter 14 and verse 25 that he was the servant of God who was a prophet. And God was speaking to Jonah. "Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah." My, the Lord was revealing his will to Jonah. He says in verse 2, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me." God was speaking to Jonah, and God was revealing his will to Jonah through his word. See how the word of God came to Jonah. It came with great clarity. He said, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it." God was telling Jonah what to do. He was to go. He was telling Jonah where to go. He was to go to Nineveh. And he was telling Jonah when to go. He says, "Arise." He was to go at that precise moment. Yes, telling him what to do, where to go, and when to go. The message couldn't be clearer. It couldn't be simpler. And God, when he speaks to us, he speaks clearly and plainly. And I know that God has many things to say to his people. But in the context of what we're reading this morning and what we're looking at this morning in connection with Jonah, I believe that one of the things that God is saying to his people today is go. Yes, we've got to go and bring the message to the outside world. The word of God to the church today is go. "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel." My, the message came with great clarity. Jonah was absolutely clear of what God was saying to him. It sounded a note of reality. He says, go to that great city. Nineveh was a pagan city. And God was sending Jonah to preach to the pagans. That's where he was sending him to. Wasn't an easy task sending him to the pagans. Came with great clarity. It sounded a note of reality. And it gave him a heavy responsibility. He says here, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it. You know, when God's word came to Jonah, he was responsible to carry it through, to carry it out, to do what God wanted him to do, and to go where God wanted him to go. And it's the same with you and I. Whatever God is saying to you at this moment in your Christian life, whatever the Lord said to you this morning in your quiet time, whatever the Lord is saying to you through the preacher last Sunday or the Sunday before, when the Word of God comes to us, no matter what shape or form it comes, it's our responsibility, my, to carry it out, to obey it. Yes, remember that obedience is better than sacrifice. And so you see here the servant of God. The servant of God and the word of God came to Jonah saying, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it. And then it says in verse 3, but Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the further of and went down into it. And the second thing that I want you to see this morning is the sinfulness of Jonah. My, God's word has come to Jonah clearly, unmistakably. God's will has been revealed to Jonah clearly and unmistakably. Go to Nineveh. But in verse 3, we find Jonah resisting the word of God. And we find Jonah rebelling against God. And we find Jonah trying to run away from God. That's what Jonah's doing here. Yes, Jonah is resisting the word of God, and he's rebelling against the will of God, and he's seeking to run away from the work of God. God says, go to Nineveh, that great city, cry against it. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish. And Jonah was committing the sin of disobedience. And I wonder how many believers this morning is committing this same sin, the sin of disobedience. Because we find that Jonah, God's servant, God's prophet, is going in the opposite direction to God. Going in the opposite direction. I wonder, is there someone here this morning and you're going in the opposite direction to God? God says, go to Nineveh. Jonah says, I'm going to Tarshish. That's what he says. My, I can imagine when that word came to him, go down to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it. I can imagine Jonah said, you must be joking. There's no way I'm going down there. To that pagan hole. No way I'm going there. Here's Jonah, and he's resisting the word of God, and he's rebelling against the will of God, and he's running away from the voice of God and from the work of God. And maybe God has spoken to your heart and revealed His will to your life. Wonder this morning, are you resisting God? I wonder, are you rebelling against God? I wonder, are you trying to run away from God? Wonder this morning, is there someone here and you're trying to run away from believer's baptism? Maybe God has spoken to your heart and showed you in His Word the truth of believer's baptism. You're trying to run away from it. Wonder, is there someone here this morning and you're running away from your responsibilities as a church member? You know what membership is? It brings with it responsibilities. And it's the responsibilities of church members to be present, to support the church by their presence, by their prayers, and in every way practical they possibly can. Are you functioning in the body of Christ this morning as God would have you function? Are you functioning in the place where the Lord has put you in the body? Because as a church member, you should be here twice on Sunday at your midweek and support the church in whatever way possible. I wonder, are you running away from your responsibilities this morning? I wonder, are you running away from submission to the Lordship of Christ in your life? You sing that little chorus, He is Lord, He is Lord, He has risen from the dead, and He is Lord. I want to ask you this morning, is Jesus Christ Lord over all? Have you come to that place in your life where you've prepared to lay your all on the altar for God, to present your body a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service? You know, when I went to Port Rice, I remember traveling up on the day we moved, making sure that the furniture van was left, traveling up into the North Coast, turning up there down into the Apollo Avenue and into the drive where the manse is. One of the men out of the church met me and he put into my hand the keys of that manse. And I had access to every room in that house, to every cupboard in that house, to every nook and cranny. There wasn't a place that I didn't have access into in that house. I'm asking you this morning, has Jesus Christ access to every part of your life? To every part. Is there some little cupboard somewhere, some little compartment of your life that you're keeping for yourself? That you're keeping that you don't want to surrender over? That you don't want to give over to the Lord? You're running away from God this morning. Maybe there's someone here, some young person or some older person. Maybe God has been challenging you about His Word. Challenging you about serving Him, doing some work within the church or some work in a full-time capacity. And you've sat down and you've thought about it and you've wondered, you know, how you're going to pay the mortgage and how you're going to make ends meet and how you're going to look after the family, and all these questions come to you. And man, maybe you're here this morning and you've been trying to put it on the back burner. Dear friends, this word comes to me this morning as well as you. Are we trying to run away from God? Trying to run away from Him. There's an interesting little phrase there in verse 3. It says, so He paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Jonah had to pay the fare. He had to pay the price. And you know, people who go in the opposite direction to God and go contrary to His Word and contrary to His will pay the price of disobedience. And from the moment that Jonah stepped outside the will of God. You'll find as you read through the verses, he was always going down, down to Joppa, verse 3, down into the ship, down into the sides of the ship, down into the sea, down into the fish's belly. It was always down from the moment he resisted and rebelled and ran. And dear friends, when we disobey the word of God and step outside the will of God, the only way we'll go is down. The only way we'll go is back. Back spiritually. You see the servant of God here, Jonah, the prophet. And you see the sinfulness of Jonah. And then it says in verse 4, but the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea. Man, that's a great but there. These buts come at times in our life. But God sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. And that's the sovereignty of God. You see, Jonah thought that he was going to do as he wanted and go where he liked, but God had other ideas. And we find that the Lord sent a great wind into the sea. One of the commentators says that the Lord hurled or threw a great wind into the sea. You know, God was following after Jonah and bringing about circumstances that would bring him back to himself and into his will. You know, friends, we think here and we see the sovereignty of God. I went to pay a visit yesterday to a young girl who was sick, and she lives near down on the seafront. And my, you could have saw the swell that there was yesterday coming off the north coast. My, the swell that there was, and I could just imagine Jonah out in the ship and in a storm like that, how God caused the storm to come into the sea. You see, God is sovereign over the very elements of nature. God can start the wind. And of course, when the disciples were in the little ship, he could stop the wind. The Lord's sovereign. He can start the wind, but he can stop the wind. He's sovereign over the fowls of the air. My, when Elijah was down at the brook Cherith, the Lord sent the ravens with bread and flesh in the morning, bread and flesh in the evening. And you know, there was never a morning or never an evening when the ravens never appeared, because the Lord was sending them. He never failed to serve them. And of course, he's sovereign over the affairs of life. God is sovereign over our lives. And you see, the servant of God and the sinfulness of Jonah and the sovereignty of God, and you see the storm at sea. The Lord was using this storm to deal with Jonah. He was using these circumstances to bring Jonah and to turn Jonah around, to bring him back to where he wanted him and to bring him to where he wanted him. And sometimes God lets things happen. He allows storms or trials to come, and he uses the things in life to shape us and to mold us and to bring our lives into line and into obedience with his will. Nobody ever likes to be in the storm. Nobody ever enjoys the trials. But we look back this morning and we thank God for those times when God intervened and gave us wisdom. Then it says here in verse 5, then the mariners were afraid and cried every man to his God and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. And we see now the sleeping prophet. See the servant of God and the sinfulness of Jonah, and the sovereignty of God and the storm and sea, and now we see the sleeping prophet. Dear friends, these men on the ship, these mariners, these sailors, these men on the ship were in danger.
These men were perishing. These men were seeking salvation, physical salvation. But in spite of all that was going on and all that was happening, Jonah was down in the sides of the ship, fast asleep. Jonah was sleeping while all around him was perishing. Jonah was unconcerned while those around him were greatly concerned for their lives. He was unconcerned. Jonah did absolutely nothing while those around him were in danger of being lost. Tell me this, are you like Jonah today? Are you sleeping while all around you is perishing? Are you totally unconcerned while those around you are greatly concerned about the hereafter, about what's after death? My way back in the book of Numbers 32:23, Moses spoke to those tribes that didn't want to go over Jordan, and he told them the different stipulations, what they must do if they wanted to stay on that particular side of Jordan. And then he said this to them, and he said, if you don't do this, be sure your sin will find you out. Be sure your sin will find you out. And he was talking about the sin of doing nothing. The sin of doing nothing. And Jonah was committing that sin. I know that I can do nothing, and you can do nothing to bring a soul to Christ. I know all about that. But I believe that God has laid out his plan and his purpose and his program. And I believe that we, as his servants, have certain responsibilities that God wants us to fulfill in the great plan of redemption. The heathen shipmaster came to him and said unto him, what meanest thou, O sleeper? What meanest thou, O sleeper? Dear friends, it seems today that many are in a state of spiritual sleep. You know, we're so comfortable. My, the meeting's going on. Things are going fine. Speakers are coming. We're so comfortable. Do you come out to pray on Wednesday night? Do you bring your children to the Lord? Do you pray for your grandchildren? Pray for them and the world in which they're growing up into? Are you sleeping while others are concerned? Are you sleeping? My dear friends, in the parable of the 10 virgins, while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. God called Jonah to be his servant. He was the prophet of the Lord. God called Jonah to go. He told Jonah what he wanted him to do. God was showing Jonah that there was a people who were perishing, who needed to be reached. And we find Jonah sleeping while all around him were in danger. We're in danger. Are you like Jonah this morning? Are you resisting the word of God? God speaking to you, you're resisting the word of God. Are you rebelling against God's will? Are you running away from God's work? Are you committing the sin of doing nothing? Are you sleeping while the city perishes? Lisburn's a city now. God has put you here as a light in that city. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, said Jesus, in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. You know, the next word the shipmaster said was this: arise and call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us, that we perish not. Dear friends, as we come this morning, are we running away from God? Are we going in the opposite direction? Are we sleeping this morning? Are we unconcerned? Have we no vision? Have we lost the burden? Have we become at ease in Zion? Oh, that God would arouse us out of our slumber. Oh, that God would give us a renewed love for Him. Oh, that God would give to us a vision and a burden. And oh, that God would give us that enthusiasm to evangelize and to go out to the Ninevites of this world and to reach the perishing. God forbid that we would be like Jonah was, going in the opposite direction to God. If God is speaking to your heart this morning, don't be running away. Don't be putting it on the back burner. Respond to His word and come to that place that Abraham came to on Mount Moriah, where he was prepared to lay us all on the altar for God. May God speak to our hearts this morning. Challenge our hearts. And may God work in our hearts even as He worked in the hearts of His servant and these other men in the book of Jonah.